It's not as cold as it can get, but it's close in West Lafayette. I think, I don't know, Tom, do we have nor'easters here? I don't think we do, but something blew in here in West Lafayette at about 4 o'clock. And it is now snowy and nasty here in West Lafayette. But thank you for those of you that have tuned in for Wednesday Night Live, brought to you by acrepro.com. We're going to talk a little of the Barry Odom world of college football at Purdue, and look forward to doing that. I want to thank our sponsor, Kyle Spray, and the good folks at acrepro.com. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group are your local farmland specialist. And with decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit acrepro.com or call 765-775-6502. Talk to your local land expert, local land experts, Kyle Spray and others. That number again, 765-775-6502. The busiest man in show business, at least in Purdue sports business, is Tom Dienhardt. And it has been a whirlwind here the last, since about, well, it's been really kind of the whole last 4 or 5 weeks, but since December 1st and the change that was made, and now the hiring of Barry Odom. Tom, I have to ask, because in the first question I ask, and you and I have had a little conversation, but just the overall, now that we're a whole 24 hours into this, what are your thoughts in terms of Barry Odom and Mike Lubinsky talked about this being their guy, their target. I think that seems to be clear, but he's got a big job ahead of him.
Yeah, I think anybody who watched Purdue football this fall knows the job Barry Odom's got in front of him, Alan Karpik. His plate is full.
Yeah,
he's keeping the to-do list is long, and where do you start? You know, we saw the introduction on what, Tuesday. I'm sure he's hit the ground running. I know he's met with some assistant coaches on staff, and pretty sure he's close to getting some assistant coaches lined up here, Alan. From what I know, I think there were some meetings today. Some things may have been zipped up and lined up as far as not the entire staff, I don't think, but a start here, because the portal's open. We all know the urgency Purdue has to, A, get some of its players back who went in the portal, and B, to bring some players in from the portal. And you need some boots on the ground to do that. So, yeah, and that's just the beginning, right, for Barry Odom. So building the staff, building the roster, getting the lay of the land. And you know what, real quick, too, I think my overall impressions now is just there's hope for fans, right?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing.
And I think hope had been drained by late November last year. And the thought and the prospect of Ryan Walters coming back in 2025, even with the revised roster, I don't think that enthused many people either. So, again, we have hope. And that's a good thing, right? If you don't have hope in life, you don't have much really to cling to, right?
All right, we have some questions, not surprising, and on the front end. Is it concerning no assistant coaches have been hired? I'll let you answer that, because you're far more into the weeds there than I am. But I will say this on Barry Odom. He does seem like a guy that is going to take things. It's the old John Wooden, be quick but don't hurry. He's not a knee-jerk guy, at least from my estimation. I know you know him a little bit better, a lot better than I do, just from days past. But what do you think about Daniel's question?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think today they got some things buttoned up, him and his agent, Bob Lattenville. Bob Lattenville is still here today. And I think they were working on some of those things, trying to get some staffing situations sorted out. I think without a doubt, we all expect some of the UNLV assistants to come to West Lafayette. I don't know when they would be here, Alan. You know, they got a bowl game on December 18th. They
play right
in the LA Bowl. So they have to get through that. But to me, people I talk to, I feel pretty good about three guys coming for sure, I think. From UNLV, the defensive coordinator, Mike Scheer, the special teams coach, James Schubist, and the running backs coach, Cornell Ford. I think those three guys I feel pretty confident. It's not done. I can't say unequivocally they're coming, but I feel pretty sure those three are coming here. Probably a few more. I also feel pretty sure that, to much chagrin to Boilermaker Nation, that the offensive coordinator everybody wanted so bad, Brennan Marion, is not likely headed to Westlock yet. And him and his go-go offense, him and his playbook, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're not coming to West Lafayette from everything I can tell. So there's three guys I feel pretty good are probably going to come here. A fourth that I'm pretty sure is not going to come here. One of the guys, Dell Alexander, the interim head coach out there, maybe he's a guy. Maybe he's auditioning for the UNLV head coaching job. I don't know, but he's a name to keep on your radar. Dell Alexander, an older coach. I think he's very well respected. And Van Vice, the offensive line coach, is another guy to kind of keep you on your radar. So we'll see what happens. And again, will anybody stay from this current staff? I
can't imagine. Can you really?
Well, I think there's a chance.
Who would you put?
Roper's are three guys. One. I think the guy most likely is Lamar Kennard.
Yeah.
And I know I just talked about Cornell Ford, who coaches running backs at UNLV. Of course, that's the position that Lamar Kennard coaches. Cornell Ford has coached the secondary in the past. He was at Missouri for years, Alan. And at Missouri, he was a safeties coach for a time and a cornerbacks coach also. So if for some reason, you know, they have to switch up spots, Cornell Ford is more than capable of coaching another position. So I think Lamar Kennard, what he brings from his running back room, from his connections in the state, he's an alum too, Alan. I think there's some value there.
Sure.
I think Justin Sins is another guy, another alum who's been here a long time, a very well-liked individual, a really promising young head coach still, the tight ends guy here at Purdue. And Jason Simmons. Now, Alan, I think if Jason comes back, it probably wouldn't be in one of the 10 full-time assistant spots. Of course, he was an analyst anyway last year. Maybe he'll come back in an analyst role too. Jason's another guy. He's one of those guys down there who knows everybody in the state.
Yeah.
Could add a lot of value to you from like a high school relations standpoint. Help you with recruiting and just getting to know all the key movers and shakers in high school football in Indiana for this staff. That's going to be a real neophyte coming to the Hoosier State too. So those are three guys. And Alan, I think I will say this. I think it's a done deal that Kiro Small, the strength coach, will be back. I've had a couple people tell me that he is coming back. And
huge position. I mean, that's huge.
It is. And you know that he's got another year on his contract. I don't know if that's why he's coming back.
Yeah.
But I will say this. You know, they call him Coach Rowe. Coach Rowe is well respected among his peers, and he's well liked, you know, in the Kozik football complex by the players. He's respected, and I think he's gotten some good results too. So, and just a great human being, too. If you ever get a chance to talk to Coach Rowe, good family man, kind of guy you want around your program, kind of guy you want around your young man. So, Coach Rowe's back, and I think that's a good thing for, obviously, for him.
Yeah.
Good thing for Purdue, too. So, and again, I thought we would get some news today on assistance for sure. I guess we still have a few hours left. I got to think, boy, Alan, Thursday, Friday, we're gonna learn officially the names of some of these guys that will be on the staff.
Well, I think, too, that it's an important thing to say in Ryan Walker's regime. Obviously, it was catastrophic the way things performed on the field, but there were some good people around there. Justin Sins has been seen it all here. I mean, my gosh, you know, going back to Daryl Hazel and through Jeff Brohm on down the road, right? So I think I'm right that he was recruited by Hazel. But my point is that there's some need for that. And there is, you got to remember, too, and I don't know if you buy into this notion, but these are kids, human beings, and I understand that the portal and a lot of Purdue's top echelon players are in the portal. Well, we get all that. But there is still guys and that you want to keep around or at least have so you can field a team and get some level of a foundation. I thought Barry Odom yesterday gave he just seems like a practical dude. You know, we're going to look at things and we're not going to rule stuff out. And I'm not casting aspersions on Ryan Walters. I'm just saying this is a guy with some experience. He's had good moments. He's had some challenging moments. Certainly his time at Missouri wasn't a complete train wreck, but he was he was 500, but he knows what it feels like to lose a job. But he also knows what it's like to get re-energized and do very well. So all those factors to me play into a guy that will make practical decisions and understands kind of who he is. Is that your sense as well?
Yeah. I think pragmatic guy. He's not going to make hasty decisions here. And just kind of sorting things out right now, meeting with people and trying to, I'm sure, figure out the lay of the land and for sure what he wants to do. Well, I got to think before his boots even hit the ground here, though, he had a pretty good idea who he wanted on the staff, right? I can't imagine he came here with
him. Sure, yeah. So,
and for sure, people probably saw on social media today, the Rush ends coach, Joe Dineen, said goodbye. So Joe's not coming back. And I know the special teams coach has had a conversation, Chris Petrelli. He knows he's not coming back. So those are two guys we know for sure. I think Kevin Kane sort of doesn't expect to come back, the defensive coordinator. I think he gets it. He understands it. Corey Patterson, Sam Carter, I don't foresee guys coming back either. Brick Haley, I'm not sure. Brick, Brick actually worked with Coach Odom at Missouri. He was his line coach. I know one time Brick was thinking about retirement. I'm not sure what Brick wants to do. I think he's still kind of weighing his options here. Marcus Johnson's the same way. Marcus just kind of says, I'm going to do whatever the Lord tells me, and he'll tell me where I need to go. So
not a bad choice, I suppose.
He's a good dude. So yeah, that's sort of the lay of the land. Now, Alan, as far as the assistant coaches go, I talked about Brennan Marion not coming. Well, who's going to be the offensive coordinator, Alan Carpet?
Yeah.
$64,000 question. People want to know who's going to push the buttons and what's the offense going to look like? What's it going to be? Is it going to be go-go? Is it going to be some other scheme? Well, what's that offense going to be? I think one guy they sort of had on their radar was Chip Lindsey, who was the OC at North Carolina for Mack Brown. Well, he just got hired in Michigan.
Yeah. So
scratch him, right? I really have no inkling what direction Barry Odom's going to go with the OC spot. I offered some educated guesses. Kirby Moore at Missouri, but Kirby Moore looks like he's maybe a candidate to be the head coach in New Mexico. Another guy who always intrigues me is Seth Luttrell.
Yeah.
I put his name on a message board today. Seth was a guy I think that Ryan Walters wanted to hire as OC originally, and Seth didn't want to come. Of course, they hired Graham Harrell. We know the history there. Seth's a sage coach. Seth got fired this fall. He was the OC of Oklahoma. I know he knows Barry. Seth has worked at Indiana for Kevin Wilson and a lot of schools. He's the head coach in North Texas for a long time. Seth will bring a lot of value. So I'm just guessing on Seth Luttrell, but I don't know. We'll see what direction Barry goes. That's the biggest question I think I have. Who's going to end up being the OC here for this staff?
Yeah, and obviously a key one. And even Barry certainly said that, and this is stating the obvious. Ryan Walters would have said the same thing. We got to be compelling and entertaining, and that is that. I think he knows that, and this is a guy that does know it when he sees it. He had Drew Locke on his roster for a couple of years, and Purdue fans saw Drew Locke not play well in that 35-3 loss in 2017 and 2018. He looked like the NFL guy that he was, is. And I think that's a key factor too. So my guess is, it is obviously the key storyline and something we'll be watching closely. All right. I want to, that was the one I did not mean. I don't know if anyone was also remembers this, but after the 18 Mizzou Purdue game, when Jared Sparks was upset after dropping a TD pass, one of the people who went to console him was Barry Odom. Hashtag respect. I don't remember that. I do remember, did he drop the ball or did he get called out of bounds? I can't – or they didn't call it a catch, and it sure looked like one. I can't remember, but I do remember. Barry Odom really – that is one thing I think – I know he kind of schmoozed up to the media on the best back end, but I kind of took him as that was kind of real. And maybe I'm naive, and I probably am, but I just thought that was a smart move. But I also think he's just kind of a real dude. I mean, I wouldn't surprise me that he did that in that 2018 game in the night. That was a night game in Ross-Ade Stadium, and a great game it was. great offensive game, something that Missouri got out of there alive with a big win on the road. I get a kick out of this because we've been all talking about this. Bob Williams talks about Odom, Painter, Katie. They all look like Purdue Pete. I had somebody, I don't know, did you write this or somebody's told us this, if this is kind of crass, but that if Jeff Brohm and Dean Katie had a child, it would look like Barry Odom. Might be. I do think the one thing that does come off, that did come off, I thought, pretty well yesterday, is the Purdue fit. He seems to be that. I don't think he's gonna cower in difficulty. He knows that it's a long road ahead, but I got that impression very much from him. Same as you?
Yeah, you know, he's like you said, he's walking the fire of the Southeastern Conference as a coach, following in the footsteps of an iconic coach at Missouri, Gary Pinkle. It's never easy to follow an icon at your school, and that's exactly what he had to
do.
Then he goes to UNLV, a place historically that's really been just a moribund program. And what wins 19 games in 2 years, a chance to win 11th game this year. Although I know he won't be there, but still, yeah. And yeah, like you said, a dude, Alan. He kind of reminds me of Dan Campbell, the Detroit Lions coach. Matter of fact, kind of a tough guy, you know, will walk through a wall of fire, will run through a brick wall. And I call it like a hot dog and a Coke guy, right? Hot dog and a Coke. And someone pointed out today, in my chat about, you know, I can appreciate the follically challenged, the bald is beautiful crowd. They talked,
hey, me Joe too, Tiller. Buddy.
They said Joe Tiller was bald. Jack Mollenkopf had some hair issues. Jeff Brohm, of course, wasn't blessed with luscious locks of hair when he was strolling the sidelines of Ross-Ade Stadium. And here comes Barry Odom, yet another member of our fraternity, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And they were just having some fun. But yeah, you know, Barry, like you said, the kind of guy that you can imagine leaning over your backyard fence, talking to you on a Saturday afternoon after you cut the grass, and just talking about whatever's on your mind of the ball game the night before. So, yeah, just a fit. You know, I don't want to get too stereotypical here, but and a guy who's seemingly comfortable in his own skin,
who's
confident in his abilities. You know, he's only 48, Alan.
Yeah, and youngster.
He's a young man, but he's coached a lot of football at a high level for a young guy. So, yeah, I mean, this guy could coach for a long time, and I think he senses the opportunity, Alan. And I'll say this, you know, we got to look at the contract, at least the terms of the agreement, sort of the outline of the years and the dollar amounts. The one thing missing there, Alan, was the salary pool.
They were nebulous on that, or they didn't really outline
this. There's the language. They have the language. They're going to agree upon some – type of a figure. My point is, there's no dollar figure actually in there yet. What is that dollar figure going to be, Alan? A little perspective, a little context. Ryan Walters had $5.5 million for 10 assistants and his strength coach. Kurt Cignetti just got his deal sweetened. His salary pool for his guys is now $11 million. Where will Barry Odom's salary pool be? $6, $7, $8 million. So I'm really eager to see what that number is when it comes out. And Al, I shared those terms of the contract with a lot of coaches. And to a man, almost every response I got was, wow, wow, big eyeball emoji. He's getting paid. So his peers think he got a real sweet deal, 6 years, you know, starting at $6 million a year. They all think his peers think he got a very nice contract.
Well, I do too. Of course, we all think that's a nice contract, but 1.75 or whatever he was making at UNLV. And, you know, you're gonna debate this, and I'm not debating this now on did Purdue overpay? Purdue did what it had to do to get this deal. We don't know what the 11th hour – were there 11th hour negotiations? I have no idea on this deal. But I do think that – you got to be competitive in there. And I had somebody say, it was just in a meeting earlier, about a couple hours ago, talking about you got to pay to play here if you're going to play. And I would guess, you know, you talked about Indiana's $11 million pool. These are all astronomical figures, but I got to think Purdue's going to have to be in that game. I mean, maybe not that amount. Of course, Kurt Cignetti's got his team to the college football playoff in a year, and that's an amazing story in its own right. But my point is that, you know, you dip your toe in the water, so you got to go all the way in. And I think that part is going to be important, I guess, if you're going to continue to compete. I still have a hard time getting used to all of it, but yeah, it is the way that it is. And I do think that that's going to be a storyline. I wanted to ask, because we had a question earlier that I couldn't find that on the list. The order, you know, Matt, Purdue's obviously looking for a quarterback. They have zero. I mean, right?
They have one scholarship quarterback.
Oh, yeah, Bennett Meredith, right, is probably still showed up at the meeting. Maybe Ryan Brown. I don't know if the other guys did, too, that are in the portal. There's been a lot of discussion here this last bit about guys that are in the portal. Can they still stick with their team until that all comes out? Now, most of those guys are guys that are playing in bowl games. I get that. But my point is, you know, it's looked like in that whole situation, that may have had an impact on Purdue's, I don't know, you know, just the fact that, of course, that was the well-documented, what, week three or week four, that he left UNLV because he didn't get what he was promised. And talk about that. And does that have any effect on the OC hire? Is this just another storyline that means little to nothing to Purdue's situation?
Yeah, after three games, Matthew Sluka walked, turned his back on his teammates, became a national story. How could he? How dare he?
Yeah, today's world.
Well, you know, he was promised something, and I don't want to get into that debate, but. Yes, the offensive coordinator, Brennan Marion, was at the center of that. Everything I'm told, he's the guy who made the promise to Matthew Sluka and subsequently told nobody at UNLV about the promise as far as the dollar amount goes, which I'm led to think was a six-figure deal. And to much,
yeah.
Again, this was too much to Barry Odom's surprise. It was news to him.
Yeah.
And, I heard Coach Odom was not real happy about that, almost to the point where he wanted to dismiss his offensive coordinator over it. It got that bad. So there's that. And I don't want to get into a lot of other stuff, but let's just say that all signs point to him not coming to West Lafayette. I know a lot of people were excited about it. And I never want to get too pumped up over somebody's scheme anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Schemes are great, players, right? especially a scheme that's called Go-Go, right? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's got to be a great scheme. It's averaged 36 points a game and just won 10 games. We got to have that. We just got to have that. Well, it's usually about players. Everything's about players. I don't care what your scheme is. If you don't have players that can run, forget it. It doesn't matter. Just got to get good players first and figure out what they can do and then build your scheme, I guess. But anyway, yeah, we'll see where it goes, Alan. And, again, you can talk about personnel. We talked about the portal. The needs, everybody wants to know what's Purdue's needs. And we just talked about quarterback, right? Got to get a portal quarterback without a doubt. I think you need a portal quarterback with at least 2 years of eligibility too, like Hudson Card, if not more. If you want a good one, Alan, you're going to have to pay a lot of money, $1 million, if not more, per season for a really good quarterback out of the portal. Got to have offensive line. Come on, man. We all have needs there. You lose Gus. Moose is gone. Bo's going to the NFL, DJ Wingfield's gone, Corey Stewart's gone. You're basically starting from scratch. O-line's huge need. The D-line's a huge need. How about getting some wide receivers, Alan Carpenter?
Yeah.
How about some?
Yeah.
I mean, we got all these guys with potential. We had no production, a lot of potential, no production. Well, that were wide receivers. So, and the linebackers, Alan.
Yeah.
An abomination.
Yeah,
and I'm being kind.
Yeah.
So pick a position. It's certainly probably a need at Purdue. So Barry Odom's going to earn his $6 million this year, Alan.
Yeah, no doubt. And the schedule came out today. I wanted to get your opinion of that. I saw Purdue's bye was early week September 27th. Yeah, there are two byes. Talk about the schedule and your thoughts, obviously. You open up with the first two games against programs you should be able to handle. But then you go to Notre Dame, then you have your bye week, and then it all starts in the Big Ten play. Michigan, Ohio State on that schedule. Penn State is not. Oregon is not. Is that right? Correct. So you've got, yeah, but you got to go to Washington late in November as well, though that's not necessarily a bad time to go to Seattle. But talk about what you saw in the schedule.
7 home games, Alan. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I know you're a proponent of that. That's good.
Should always play 7 home games.
Yeah.
Anyway, and how about this? The first 3 games are in Rosade, Alan.
USC week 3, right?
And yeah, USC comes here. Get this too, Alan. The first five of the first 6 games are at home. And there's a bye week. So my point is Purdue only has to leave Lafayette one time after or before October 4th. So they're really front load with a lot of home games here early on. And you talked about USC coming. How fun is that? I remember, Alan, the last time they came here in 1976, I didn't get to go. My dad wouldn't even give me a knothole ticket. And that was Ricky Bell and John McKay and all those guys. But so yeah, boy, what
Vince Evans, the quarterback.
Yeah, and I know USC is not USC, but it's still USC, Alan. And it's so cool when a school like that, a logo school, comes to Little West Lafayette. So it's going to be cool to have the Trojans being here. You know, you talked too about, you know, the difficulty you had to go back up to South Bend here. They were there a few years ago. They have to go to Washington. And you remember you were working at Purdue. They had a 4-game series with them in the late 80s.
Right.
They got whipped all 4 years. And the last time was 1989. They were in Seattle. They got beat 38-9. Michigan, Ohio State. And you know what, Alan, too? October 18th, you may want to mark that date on your calendar, at Northwestern. Alan, my guess is that game is going to be at that kind of fun, funky Lakeside Stadium.
Right, because they won't be able to release Wrigley Field by then, the off chance the Cubs would be in the playoffs, right?
So November is your Wrigley games. So September, October, they're going to be playing at that little rinky-dink.
I think that's cool. You'll get a chance.
The game I'm most forward to going to.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting because you have that week. You have week, in essence, week 4 or week 5.
Yeah,
I think it is better in terms of where the buys are. But it is weird. You have a bye heading into the bucket game.
Yeah,
that's November 22nd. You'll be off when you have Indiana come to West Lafayette after you go to Washington.
Hey, how about this, Alan? They're going to need that bye. 3 games before that bye.
Yeah.
Michigan, Ohio State, at Washington.
Yeah. The
other bye, Alan, the 2 games before that, USC at Notre Dame.
Yeah. We're going to bank on USC not being with, of course, USC. Well, you know, it's funny about USC. They were in every game. They were leading in the fourth quarter, I think, in every game this year. They just found ways to lose. I remember 1976, Ricky Bell. It rained that day a little bit. And I don't know why I didn't have a knothole ticket for that game, but I did go. And I love those uniforms, and that was a cool experience. Purdue had played them very well out the year before, out at the Coliseum, a 0-0 tie at the half. I think they lose 19-6. But then they come back the following year, and it was still somewhat competitive. It was competitive, but Ricky Bell was too much. They kind of ran down Purdue's throat, as I recall, at the end of that game.
Real quick, Alan. Last time Purdue played USC, why was it noteworthy? And what year was that? And where was it at?
Well, 1998.
Why was it noteworthy?
Because it was 400 degrees. No, it was the hot. Well, Drew Brees' first game.
There you go. Drew Brees' first start.
It's so funny because I was at that game. I don't travel much to road games anymore. But I do remember going. That was my first trip really to L.A. of any length, as I recall. And all I know is they were IVing people and Tom Campbell, our photographer at the time, was I don't know how. I mean, it was 110 on the field at least, and I can remember all the USC band members. They took all their maroon. Of course, we all went there because I love the USC band and the fight on and their march and all that stuff. And it was, they were in white shirts, I think, for most of that game. The hottest game, I think, in Purdue football history, 99 degrees at kickoff. But yes, Drew Brees, first possession, they go right down the field and score. But it was a kickoff, I think, returned by Chad Morton, I think, in the second half. They kind of turned that game around for Purdue to not get the job done. But it was a big deal because Purdue got invited to play in the Pigskins Classic. That was a big deal. A week zero game, if there was such a thing at the time. So it'll be fun to have the Trojans back in West Lafayette. We'll see if Barry Odom will not cower, and he'll feel the team. And no matter what all the gnashing of teeth of where Purdue's roster is going to be, you know what? They're going to feel the team before they're done. One would think.
Again, the last thing on the schedule too, Alan, starting Ball State, Southern Illinois. That's a nice way to kind of ease your way in the swimming pool, an old man, instead of having to jump in the deep end. And this way you can kind of ease in. You know, I don't want to undersell Ball State and SIU, but I'm going to undersell them.
Yeah.
It's better than opening up, like I said, with diving into the deep end here. And they still have Notre Dame in the non-com, but still Ball State, MAC team, SIU, FCS school, and then you have one power school in Notre Dame. So I think people can live with that. Scheduling the Big Ten is tough enough for these nine games, Alan.
Yeah,
these coaches, they got some big hurdles to clear. We've already talked about this schedule. There's plenty of them for this new coaching staff to deal with this year.
You know, it's funny, though. We've looked at that schedule and said, oh, my God, it's worse. And I'm using this as only one metric. And I guess I'm not putting USC in the group, and maybe I should. But of the top four, you only have to play two this year. Last year, 2024, you played three. Now, again, that's kind of silly to not put USC maybe in that category, but right now they're not. I mean, it's obviously Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. And Michigan obviously didn't really play its way into that, but until the last game of the year, then they played their way into it. That part will be – that'll be a fun thing to do and fun thing to watch. That's why I think we're all supposedly doing this thing about making interest in college football. It's a fact. In the Big Ten, you got all these great teams coming in. It brought a lot of people into Ross State Stadium this year. We'll see how it does coming into 2025, but it will be interesting. One last thing I did, Barry Odom, and you've had some experience with him in the past, in your past college football lives, but I did, we talked about the fact that he kind of came out and at the end of his press conference and talked about wanting to, I'm going to work with the media or whatever term he used. He just seemed to be genuine on that front. Just in your experience with him and from that standpoint, and I don't know how much of that you really had, but you've had some, what kind of guy will he be from a community standpoint, do you think?
Yeah. People were asking me some of those questions today on the chat too.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, he is who we think he is.
Yeah.
I think he'll be accessible to the community. He's one of those guys that's going to want to engage with the community. And I think
nice family too.
Family, yeah, nice family. He's got the two boys. One's a linebacker, JT, who's already at UNLV. He'll obviously transfer to Purdue. And then his son, other son, Garrett, G-A-R-Y-T, who's a senior in high school who just signed with UNLV, but of course it's going to flip. And then they have the daughter too. I'm not sure how old she is. Looks like she's probably in grade school. So
yeah,
looks like a nice family. And as far as the media goes, he gets it, Alan. I think he knows how to. He knows how to deal with the media. He's been doing this for a while, and I think he knows the benefits of trying to cultivate a good relationship with the media. And this isn't a real dog-eat-dog media market to begin with. It's not like Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan. I think he gets it, too. He's a smart man. And if somebody asked me today on the chat, and it was a good question, did I think his practices would be open or not? I've been so busy. Of course, I haven't thought about even asking about that. So I'll be
able
to see what his policy is on his practices. I just guessed that he's the kind of guy that's not going to care. He's going to have him opened up. I didn't want to speak for him, but I went ahead and spoke for him. So we'll see what
I think at least some of them will be. I know in today's world.
Even Brohm opened some of his up.
Oh, yeah. He did at least early on. And for whatever reason, Ryan Walters didn't. And that's their business. And we'll take a whole, I think if you're a Purdue fan, you'll take a whole world of closed practices if the product on the field is good. But
as long as you win, but, you know what? If you don't win and you don't open your practices up, they hate you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you win, exactly. You can do anything you want.
Yeah. Well, it will be a busy time here in the month of January as we look at not only transfer portal happenings, but just getting everything the month of December and January, but obviously getting things established. He talked about also the start of training when the second semester begins.
January 13th.
Right? First day of school, first day of classes, right? When the guys come back and that will be an interesting storyline as well. All right, Tom, thank you. As always, great insight. If you need more insight, you ought to check out also his chat. He's the chat king today because he's been doing it.
Right now.
What's that?
There's a lot of interest now.
Yeah, it's great. We love that. It's funny because even as we measure the people that are on this Wednesday Night Live, it's been 3 to 4x, if not more, than up to 10x of what it was during football season. You know, as they always say, the opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy. So we're glad to have people paying attention for that. We also want to thank Kyle Spray and the good folks at acrepro.com. We will continue our Wednesday Night Live. We're not going to put Tom through this throughout every week. He's done his duty and then some with all the chats we've done. But we'll do some basketball with Brian as well and some football as it becomes warranted too. But we will continue this after the first of the year as well. And we'll look forward to doing it. It's been a fun medium to be able to do this live. And we've had a great response and we've been pleased with that. I want to thank again Kyle Spray and the good folks at acrepro.com. You can call 765-775-6502 or talk to your local land expert. That number again, 765-775-6502. And a reminder, we will have been tweeting it out, putting on our Facebook page. You can give gift subscriptions. And we've had a great to Tom's work and Brian's work especially. We've had a really good response, but you can gift goldenblack.com. If you haven't figured out that, I don't know if it works as a stocking stuffer, but it's a 40% off rate. $75 will get you a year for that gift. And you can do this at any time. We'll put that back up on Twitter as well. And in addition to the bottom of this, our YouTube page as well, because you'll get a chance to become a member of the, as Brian Newbert calls it, the most robust community on Purdue Sports on the internet. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but I think it's close. We'll look forward to that. All right. Have a great holiday, everybody. Tom, we'll be chatting again soon. And we'll have more of this after the first of the year. And stay tuned, too. We obviously continue with Golden Black Radio on Tuesdays. And then, of course, our Saturday simulcast, too. We'll do just about every week leading into the new year as well. So have a great rest of your evening. Stay warm if you're in the northern part of the United States. If you're in the southern part and watching this, I'll bring some of that warm weather up here. It is cold up here. So have a great rest of your evening, all. Thanks so much.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles. Discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store. Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.